The All-City Radio Workshop of the South Bend Community School Corporation presents Charlotte Bronte's classic story, Jane Eyre. Jane Eyre was written by Charlotte Bronte and adapted for radio by Louis Olson and Jerry Limbert. And now, here's Jane Eyre.
How do you do, my dear? You must be Miss Eyre, the new governess. Won't you come in?
You're Mrs. Fairfax, I suppose.
Yes. Won't you sit down?
Thank you.
My, but you're young. I'd no idea that Adele's governess would be a mere girl. Not that I underestimate your abilities. I'm sure you're very capable.
Shall I have the pleasure of seeing Miss Fairfax tonight?
Miss Fairfax? Oh, you mean Miss Verins. Verins is the name of your pupil.
Indeed. Then she is not your daughter?
No, I should say not. I'm just the housekeeper here at Thornfield. Miss Verins is a French girl, the ward of your master, Mr. Rochester.
Mr. Rochester, pray tell me what he is like. This is my first position, and I'm not familiar with the personalities of elderly gentlemen.
Oh, Mr. Rochester isn't elderly, though at times he is more irritable than a man of 90. I'm sure that if you perform your services well and quietly, you'll have no fear of displeasing him.
Good heavens! Did you hear that loud laugh? Who is it?
Some of the servants, very likely. Perhaps Grace Poole.
Did you hear it?
Yes, plainly. I often hear it. She sews in one of the rooms in the north wing of the house. Grace! Grace! That ought to bring her down. She's often this way when she's had an extra bit of port. Did you call me, Mum? Too much noise, Grace. Remember directions. Yes, Mum. She's a person we have to sew and assist the other maids in their housework. Not altogether unobjectionable in some points, but she does well enough. Along with Mr. John, the stable master, and his wife, they make up the entire household. As for the master, you'll meet him tomorrow evening.
I'm looking forward to it.
Now, I'll have one of the girls come to show you to your room. You must be tired. As this is your first day, you'll be served dinner in your room. I'll tell you about your tasks in the morning.
Will there be anything else?
Only a word of friendly warning. If I were in your position, I would try to have as little as possible to do with Grace Poole. Mr. Rochester. Here is Miss Eyre.
Ah, the new governess for Adele. Let Miss Eyre be seated. That will be all, Miss Fairfax. I'll call you when I want you.
Yes, sir.
Turn your face to the fire, Miss Eyre, that I might have a better look at you. There, that's better. Now then, you've come from...
From Lowood School, sir. In Westshire.
Ah, an orphan asylum. How long were you there?
8 years.
8. No wonder you have rather the look of another world. No parents, nor home?
No, none.
Who recommended you to Thornfield?
I advertised, and Mrs. Fairfax answered my advertisement.
Tell me about your background. Have you known many people? Do you read much?
The only society I know are those few outsiders that ever visited the orphanage. As for reading, I'm familiar only with such books as came in my way, and they weren't very numerous, I'm afraid, nor very learned.
Mrs. Fairfax showed me some sketches you'd done, with the aid of an instructor, no doubt.
No, indeed, sir.
Ah, that pricks your pride. Where did you get your copies?
Out of my head, sir.
Has it other furniture of the same kind within?
I should think it may have. I should hope better.
Were you happy while painting the pictures?
I was absorbed, sir. Yes, and I was happy. To paint them was to enjoy one of the keenest pleasures I have ever known.
That's not saying very much, I'm afraid. You examine me, Miss Eyre. Do you think me handsome?
No, sir.
Well, there is something singular about you. You aren't afraid to tell the truth. But look at my brow. Do you think me a fool?
Far from a fool, sir. You would perhaps think me rude if I inquired in return whether or not you are a philanthropist.
It's 9 o'clock. What are you about, Miss Eyre, to allow your pupil to stay up so late?
Will there be anything else, or may I leave?
The interview is at an end, Miss Eyre. I think you'll do. Yes, I think you'll do very nicely indeed.
Rochester. Mr. Rochester? Mr. Rochester, am I wanted?
Yes, come here. There's been an accident. Have you a sponge in your room?
Yes, sir.
Fetch it and some salt. At once. There, there, Mason. It's all right.
She bit me. She bit me.
Be quiet, you fool. Here's Miss Eyre.
Here are the salts, sir, and the sponge.
Good. Do you turn sick at the sight of blood, Miss Eyre?
I think not, sir.
Good. Now then, easy there. You'll be all right, Mason. Miss Eyre, this is my old friend, Richard Mason. He arrived at Thornfield last night and met with an accident. Everything's all right now, though. You've lost a little blood, that's all.
She bit me, and I didn't expect it. She looked so quiet at first.
I warned you. I told you to be on your guard before going near her. Besides, you might have waited till morning and had me go with you. It was mere folly to attempt this interview tonight and alone.
I thought I could have done some good.
You thought. For whatever you suffered is your own fault.
She sucked the blood. She said she drained my heart.
Hold your tongue. Miss Eyre is here. Besides, you'll be well of this wound a week hence. I'll arrange for you to leave Thornfield at sunrise.
Must I go?
You've done enough damage just by coming. Miss Eyre?
Yes, sir?
Did you see anything when you opened your chamber door?
No, sir.
But you heard an odd laugh, didn't you? You have heard that laugh before, I should think. Or something like it.
Yes, sir. There is a woman who sews here called Grace Poole. She laughs in that way. A singular person.
Just so. Grace Poole, you have guessed it. It's she that was at the bottom of this episode. I'll think the matter over. And meanwhile, I'm very glad that you are the only other member of the household, besides myself, acquainted with tonight's incident. I entreat you to say nothing about it. And now, kindly return to your room, Miss Eyre.
Very well, sir. Good night.
Good night, Jane Eyre.
Miss Eyre, here on the second floor, while the parlor downstairs is alive with dancers? For shame.
I must see little Adele to bed first. Besides, Mr. Rochester has not asked me to join his friends at their party.
Oh, mercy. He asked me to tell you to go down as soon as it was convenient, and I forgot all about it. In any event, you should know by now, after so many months of service here, that Mr. Rochester always welcomes the sight of you. But it's still not too late. Go and enjoy yourself. I'll put Miss Adele to bed.
I will, just as soon as I change my gown.
That's not necessary. Your frock is good enough for a governess.
But how plain I should look beside that handsome woman in the green velvet dress. Mr. Rochester seems to be paying her a great deal of attention.
That's Blanche Ingram, as wealthy and adventurous as you'll ever meet. And she's out to snare Mr. Rochester's heart.
Oh, and do you think she'll succeed?
She will, unless I miss my guess. Yes, I think that Blanche Ingram will soon be mistress over you and me, and over Thornfield Hall. But why are you standing here? Be off to the party.
I'll not be going down, Mrs. Fairfax, after all. Sent for me, Mr. Rochester?
Yes, Jane. You've come to love Thornfield and Adele and Mrs. Fairfax, haven't you?
Yes, sir. In different ways, I have affection for all of them.
And would you be sorry to part with them?
Must I move on, sir? Must I leave Thornfield?
I believe you must, Jane. I'm sorry, but I believe you must.
Then you are going to be married, sir.
With your usual acuteness, you have hit the nail straight on the head. I hope to be a bridegroom within this month. I believe I know of a position in Ireland I might obtain for you.
Ireland? That's a long way off from Thornfield, sir, and...
And?
And you, sir.
But where do you see the necessity of being apart from me?
Where? In the shape of Miss Ingram, a noble and beautiful woman, your bride.
My bride? Do you think I could love Miss Ingram? So cold, so shallow? Jane, don't you understand? It is you that I ask to stand at my side.
But you yourself have said...
Good, honest, meek Jane. It is you that I love with all my heart. You that I entreat to accept me as husband.
Then turn your face to the moonlight that I may read your countenance. Are you in earnest, sir? Do you truly love me?
I do. And if an oath is necessary to satisfy it, I swear it.
Then, sir, I will marry you.
Come to me. Come to me entirely now. Make my happiness, and I will make yours. God pardon me, and man not meddle with me. I have her, and I will hold her.
My wedding day, my wedding dress. It's almost too good to believe, Mrs. Fairfax.
Never a lovelier bride has there ever been, my dear Miss Eyre, than you.
I feel so happy, and yet I am a bit afraid.
That's only natural.
But I had a nightmare. At least I thought it was a nightmare. In the middle of the night, I heard that awful laugh, Grace Poole's laugh, and saw a figure in the shadows by my bureau.
Jane, don't.
I could hear Grace lift my wedding veil from its box and rip it into shreds. Then I fell asleep again.
Well, as long as it was only a dream.
But it wasn't. When I awoke this morning, there was the bridal veil Mr. Rochester had given me, his mother's veil, in shreds.
Don't let it spoil your wedding day, Miss Eyre. Listen, the wedding march. It's your turn to go down into the parlor. Mr. Rochester is waiting for you with the minister. Good luck, my child. God bless you, Miss Eyre.
Require and charge you both, as ye will answer at the dreadful day of judgment, when the secrets of all hearts shall be disclosed, that if either of you know any impediment why ye may not lawfully be joined together in matrimony, ye do now confess it. For ye be well assured that so many as are coupled together otherwise than God's word doth allow, are not joined together by God. Neither is their matrimony lawful. Wilt thou, Edward Rochester, take this woman for thy...
The marriage cannot go on. I declare the existence of an impediment.
Mr. Mason, what do you mean?
Proceed with the ceremony, Reverend Wood.
I cannot proceed without some investigation into what has been asserted, and evidence of its truth or falsehood. What is the nature of the impediment, sir?
It simply consists in the existence of a previous marriage. Mr. Rochester has a wife now living.
God help me.
A wife? Who is she? Where is she?
She is my sister, Bertha Mason Rochester, and her home is here at Thornfield Hall.
Impossible. I have been housekeeper here for 20 years. I never heard of a Mrs. Rochester.
No, I took care that none should hear of it, or of her under that name. Enough, there will be no wedding. Bigamy is an ugly word, yet I meant to be a bigamist. You say you have never seen Mrs. Rochester. Come, then, and see her now. She's a maniac, an insane woman, under the care of old Grace Poole. It's she that you hear laughing and screaming at night. She! Grace! Come down! This man, Mason, calls himself my friend. He tricked me into marrying her 15 long years ago, and even at a time when he knew that her blood was tainted.
You called me, sir?
Yes, Mrs. Poole. How are you? And how is your charge today?
My charge? I don't.
That's all right, Mrs. Poole. You may speak freely.
Well, sir, we're tolerable, sir. Rather snappish, but not righteous.
Then take these people to see her. Take care, Reverend Wood, that she has no knife to attack you with. as she did that night that Mason was last here.
A knife?
Show him how sweet your sister is, Mason. Go, all of you, and see the madwoman that I called my wife. Go! Well, Jane, not a single word of reproach, nothing bitter, nothing poignant. You know I am a scoundrel, Jane.
Yes, sir.
Then tell me so, roundly and sharply. Don't spare me.
I cannot. I am tired and sick. I want some water.
Yes, of course. Here's wine. Drink it. Oh, Jane. Jane, Jane, come to my arms.
There is no room for me now. I must go. I must leave.
Why? Don't you love me, Jane?
I...
No, I'll spare you the trouble of answering. I'll answer for you. Because I have a wife already, you would reply.
Yes.
A wife in name, yes, but in nothing else. You have heard her, you have seen her. Is this a wife? I ask you, Jane. Dearest Jane, I love you. Do you understand what I want of you? Just this promise. Mr. Rochester, I will be yours.
Mr. Rochester, I will not be yours.
Are you going, Jane? Leaving me?
Yes. I cannot stay. I shall leave in the morning.
Jane? Jane? Jane?
Bless you, my dear master. God keep you from harm and wrong. Direct you, solace you, reward you well for your past kindness to me. Dear God, be not far from me, for trouble is near. There is none but you to help me.
Jane! Jane!
Never a lovelier bride has there ever been, my dear Miss Eyre, than you.
She said she'd drain my heart. Jane! Said she drained my heart.
That's Blanche Ingram, and she's out for Mr. Rochester's heart.
Jane, it is you that I love with all my heart. Come back to me, Jane. Come back to me, Jane. Come back to me, Jane. Come back to me, Jane.
Mrs. Fairfax, how are you, dear friend?
Why, is it really you, Miss Eyre? Come after all these years to this lonely place?
Yes, it's really I. But what has happened to Thornfield Hall? When my carriage turned the road and saw this blackened shell of a house, my heart grew faint.
Come in, child, and I'll tell you. Come over here and sit down. There was a great fire a few years ago. The whole house, except this wing, was destroyed. It started in the north wing, in her room.
Mrs. Rochester's?
Yes. Everyone was out on the lawn, but there she stood at her window, refusing to come out. There was no way to reach her from the inside of the house. It was all ablaze. So Mr. Rochester crawled out onto the roof and began to inch his way over to where she was.
Be quick and finish your tale.
Just as he reached the place where she was, she jumped and was instantly killed.
And what of Mr. Rochester?
He managed to get to safety just before the roof caved in. But alas, he went through the flames to reach the mad one, and now he...
Yes, go on.
He's blind. There. He rings for his tray. I've got to be...
Let me bring it to him, Mrs. Fairfax, please.
You? But...
Let me give it to him.
Very well. But be careful with it.
Come in. Set the tray down by the fire, Mrs. Fairfax. But give me the water. Why, this is not Mrs. Fairfax's hand. Is it you, Mary?
Mary is in the kitchen.
Jane Eyre.
Hush, my darling. I'm here now. Everything's all right.
Good heavens, what delusion has seized me? What madness?
No delusion, no madness. Your mind, sir, is too strong for delusion. Your health too sound for frenzy.
Give me your hand. Jane, oh my Jane.
My dearest master, it is indeed Jane Eyre. I have come back to you.
You've come back to me after all these years? When I needed you most.
Is that not the task of friends?
Speak of friends. Jane, a long time ago I asked you to be my wife. Would you... Could you...
Don't speak, my darling.
But I am but a poor blind man. A man whom you will have to lead by the hand.
I know that.
A crippled man, 20 years older than you, whom we will have to wait upon.
Nothing matters any more, my darling. I've found you, and I love you.
Truly, Jane?
Most truly, sir.
So ends Jane Eyre. Heard on today's broadcast were Mary Ann Moran from the South Bend Public Library as Jane. Irene Pyle Millar played Mrs. Fairfax and Grace Poole. Ted Manier, a student from Adams High School, was Mr. Rochester. And others in the cast were Marty Leitner and Dave Wisniewski. Jane Eyre was written by Charlotte Bronte and adapted for radio by Louis Olfson and Jerry Limbert. Your announcer, Bob McDermott.
Thank you.